Merry Christmas to you.
Well, darn it, I ought to got the Christmas gift to you. I ought to got the present first. Did your daddy used to do you all that way, get up early in the morning, go around and say Christmas gift?
That's right. That's right.
Exactly
right.
Oh, goodness. Well, that's...
How is it down at the ranch, you resting?
No, I'm just having all kinds of trouble on all these things, but I guess we'll work out some way. I'm trying to get us where we don't just destroy ourselves with our budget, and I don't see any way to avoid it. Everybody's hollering they're going to have to increase taxes.
Yeah.
And I don't think we can do that election year, and at the same time we can't be irresponsible, and same way we can't cut out our program, same way it's just too much.
Of a problem, I know.
If we have a budget on defense, including all of our long lead time things like our planes and things we got to put in now, and if we assume the war is going to go on and on for next year, it would be a minimum of 61 and probably an extra 10 that we'd have to come up with supplemental later. If we assume the war, we can't project it beyond January of next year, 12 months ahead, if we don't try to guess it. The last 6 months, we don't get the number of troops. We just have long lead time. Planes, tanks, all that's taken care of, but just troops. Well, we can get it down under 60. And that's what a good many of them are recommending, but they're going to say it's dishonest. If I do that, though, I can save some of my health programs. I can save some of my poverty and things like that. Shriver's acting awfully ugly, got everybody going after us and pressuring us and sicking them on us, and all the group down picketing and so forth. And I've got them $1.5 billion, but they want to go up to, he's got about 7 different figures up to as high as $9 billion. And I haven't got that one answered. Haven't got our new cabinet officer. That's a question of Weaver. Or somebody else. If you don't have it, you miss the Negroes. If you do have it, I doubt that he'll be a success at it. So I don't know what to do there. So I'm just really
not our friend Walter.
Giving a good deal of thought to him, but the Negroes blew up on it. Surprisingly enough, no other human ought to discuss it. But that shows you where you are when you do it. And they're blowing up on me now. I put them over in justice so that. I thought Katzenbach and Bobby Kennedy could take any rap that we had, and I thought Justice could handle the South better than anybody else, and I didn't believe that Connor would ever really feel it, and I believed that Dorr and Katzenbach and them would, and then I put a Negro in charge, and they still give me help.
Well,
so,
I think we'll ride out that one. You know, you asked me to do a little talking to some of these fellows, and I have done some, and I got another private group coming in on the case. And the night, but it's strictly private. I already had one round with them.
Yeah.
And I think that they're going to be a little better.
Well.
I talked with Nick today, by the way. He called up here just to be very nice. And we were visiting about it. But that Keitel fellow he just decided to make a little case out of this, you know.
Well, we have them like it. You take care of Muriel. You have a good trip.
Well, I want to thank you, Mr. President, for that opportunity, and we'll do right by you.
What I would do is this, and I told you that the other night, but if you will show no interest and no concern and know nothing except just to listen and learn and try to help others. Others will do all these other things that the polls and the rest are talking about. If your own staff will just retire from that angle, and what I would do, I don't want to say it now, but this is just kind of a little light feeler. We don't want to be charged with doing these things because we're afraid of Bobby Kennedy. We want to do them for just one reason, because not because we're interested in anything ourselves or you or your future or my future, anything. We want to do them just because they're an interest to the world, and that's going to be the reason for all these things, not to answer him. Let him get out and let him make his travels and let him blow everything and let him talk, And then we'll try to handle things our own way if our boys will let us. But if they're as smart as we are, they wouldn't. They'd be where we are. And that's what they got to understand. And you're gonna have full facilities of all of our people, and they'll help with it. You just stay close to Bill and Jack and those boys, and I expect they can do more in talking to these folks than anybody can in their general ideas. And if I were you, I'd just be a dumb simpleton so far as the reasons. All I know is that I'm here to serve the country, and I'm going to serve it wherever I can, when I can. I've got a bunch of grandchildren I want to play with. That's my interest, and the other things will follow.
Well, I hope that I can live up to that.
You can.
I just want you to know, here's a little story back here in the Minneapolis paper, and the headline is, Humphrey's Not Talking. On the trip or popularity, is that Vice President Humphrey, wearing his best smile and sporting his useful, unthinkable optimism, came home for Christmas. Among other things, he neatly dodged questions on his popularity of the voters, why he wasn't going to Vietnam, and then he unveiled a new heir apparent, a black poodle with the handle of Ginger Humphrey. So that's all we said.
That's just good. Well, you got plenty of popularity with the person that's important to you.
I agree that, Mr. President. I want you to know that means more to me than anything in the world.
God bless you. Merry Christmas.
And a Merry Christmas to you, and we'll try to do a good job for you.
Give sweet
bird our love, and Muriel wants to be remembered to you.
Give her a sweet hug.
You bet. Bye-bye.